they're all running for city council in the municipal election November 10th. I think it's safe to say that they're all opposed to the urban sprawl developers first model that's become so popular in Hamilton City Council. And I think they're all interested in talking about and promoting alternatives to that kind of model of development. What I'll do is just introduce them briefly to you. Maybe considering we have such a small group here, maybe it would be nice to just go around the circle quickly and say who you are. And if you're here on behalf of a group, or you might want to mention that too. So, as I said, my name is Rich, and I'll just go around this way.
I'm Wei Robinson, and I'm here for the Campaign for Adequate Welfare and Disability Benefits, and also for the advocacy service called Welfare Action.
Joe Rhodes from Welfare Action.
Linda Lukasik from East Hamilton, and candidate for Council Ward 4.
Robert Barlow, current school trustee and candidate for Ward 10.
Bill Cottrell, candidate for Ward 7, Hamilton Central Mountain.
Andrew Schroeder, candidate Ward 5.
So I'll start with you, Linda, candidate for councillor in Ward 4, Executive Director of Environment Hamilton, Vice Chairperson of Friends of Red Hill Valley, and the proud owner of a PhD in planning from the University of Waterloo.
Well, it's great to have the chance to talk to you here tonight about my platform. I want to start by saying I never imagined I'd be running for office for councillor in Hamilton. It was never part of my life plan, such that it is. But I think I've gotten to a point where I've been involved for a very long time in a lot of issues and have realized that the city of Hamilton is really taking this entire community in the wrong direction, and it's having pretty serious implications for us, particularly for the disadvantaged, but also for people in the older parts of the city who are seeing a lot of things going downhill in ways that they really shouldn't be if we were approaching planning and development in a healthier manner. Particularly those of us living down below. We're paying higher taxes, and yet we've got water and wastewater infrastructure that's crumbling. We have local roads that aren't being properly repaired. And we're paying the price, too, that comes when mid-sized cities really focus on growth on the outer edges. We're seeing commercial districts within the older city dying if they're not already dead. And in Ward 4, you just have to think of some place like Kenilworth Avenue, if you've driven down Kenilworth Avenue lately, Parkdale. Ottawa Street is really struggling to make a comeback and having some success with that, which is good to see, good sign. But there's a real need to start to pay attention to the older parts of our city and to ensure that the older parts of our city are enhanced and protected over the long term, because the approach we're taking right now is really one where we're sacrificing the older city for the benefit of the new. That really seems to be what we're so caught up in. So I've been talking to people at the door a lot about that fact, that trade-off is being made, and they need to wake up to that reality. Because right now we've got a lot of good, solid neighborhoods in older parts of the city, but those neighborhoods will soon be at risk if we continue in this direction. But I'm also trying to help those people to understand that there are other ways for a community to grow and develop. And there are approaches that are much better, not only from an environmental perspective, and environment is what I've focused a lot of my energy on, but when you start to look at growth that's being described out there these days as smart or smarter growth or community development, not only does it really start to tackle the environmental problems, but it really starts to look at problems of social inequalities, problems with economic development or the stifling of more diversified economic development, more sustainable forms of economic development. So when you sort of jump in, whether you're coming in from an environmental, a social, or an economic point of view, when you start to look at how can we do things smarter than we are now, all of those pieces start to come together and you start to embrace an approach that's much more balanced and much more equitable for everyone in a community. And I'll use as a prime example the Red Hill Creek Expressway. When you look at the burden that project is going to impose on this community, the city of Hamilton is on the verge of bankruptcy now, and that project may well push us over the edge. And you stop and you think about who really benefits from a mega project like that. Certainly not the older neighborhoods in Hamilton, certainly not the homeless or people living below the poverty line in the older parts of the city. So we really need to start questioning what makes sense and where are our priorities at, and I think that just gives you a sense of the kinds of things that I've been talking to people about at the door. Thanks.
Andrew was a member of the McMaster Marauders football team for 5 years and played 1 year professionally in Austria. received his Master's of Education degree from Duville College, Buffalo, 2001. He is an elementary school teacher currently and an avid cyclist.
Hello, and thank you for having me here. My platform is definitely based on building strong communities. Hamilton is comprised of many small, strong communities, but as Linda had previously said, they are currently subsidizing a lot of sprawl that is going on in the outlying areas. It is certainly unfair to them because the model of the future communities, and the key word is sustainable communities, where people work, live, play, and do all their recreation in a relatively small distance. And that, to me, is what we should be thriving towards to build. The lower city in Hamilton used to have a model of sustainable communities where people live relatively close to where they work. Their children went to school relatively close to where they lived. That model now is being seriously compromised by the way things are going in City Hall and the way they choose to spend their money. Clearly, of course, as mentioned, with the Red Hill Creek Expressway. Currently, it is definitely the hottest topic and issue in my ward, and I'm definitely against it because Ward 5 lies where the expressway is proposed to be built. Our area in particular is definitely impacted environmentally. And when you look at a community, you must look at the community as a whole and what makes up that community. You look at the businesses, homes, schools, and the environment and parklands. So when you start compromising any one of those things that make up a community, you start to compromise the actual fabric knit that holds that community together. And with a project like the Red Hill Creek Expressway, you start to take away some of those resources, schools being closed, infrastructure, parks, libraries, all those things that really hold the fabric knit of what makes a real community. I propose in my platform, obviously with the elimination of funding for the Red Hill Creek Expressway, to maintain, make our community stronger, to also make a real push for strengthening our downtown core. Because for years now they've talked about revitalization of the downtown core, but how can you when there's subsidization of sprawl? The current model at City Hall has a serious confusion between the words growth and sprawl. There are two different things, and they currently think that we are growing. But if you look at the actual demographics of the lower city, people are vacating. The size of the city's growing, but not the population, and that's a serious problem.
Bill Cottrell, running in Ward 7. Bill ran for mayor in 2000 and is an anti-expressway candidate. He's concerned about the runaway spending at City Hall and the shortage of affordable housing.
And you guys are my neighbors. I've had the advantage of being in older cities like Zurich and Innsbruck, Edinburgh, and all of these older cities. The center of the city are all people places, and they don't promote a car culture. And wherever you go in these old cities downtown, you see hundreds of people hustling and bustling and shopping and intermingling with each other, not worried about getting run over or being hit by a bus. And so one of the successful components of a thriving downtown is to make it a people place. And all of these places, they have slabs of concrete that are going to last for centuries. And they really do. If you go and you see these cities are 300, 400, 500, and 600 years old, and the shops are bustling, and above their shops are people are living. And in Hamilton, unfortunately, I think what has happened, speaking of urban sprawl, is if you look at the Meadowlands in Ancaster, I think the Meadowlands catered to the car culture and pulled a lot of the business from the downtown down the expressway and to Ancaster, and that's just what people do now, and it has really been detrimental to the downtown core. If we're going to reintroduce any kind of civic culture in Hamilton, if we're going to bring the downtown core back to life, we really, really need to put the cars on the perimeter of the downtown core and just, you know, leave a couple lanes available for busing, because we need to reintroduce rapid transit so we can bring people to the downtown core where then they can begin to shop and play and hang out with each other. A big part of this is to revitalize the downtown core by pushing the cars to the perimeter. And that's one of the things I'd like to see happen. And there are a lot of other projects that this Red Hill Creek Expressway are draining funds from. And as long as we continue to believe that this expressway is necessary, and apparently about 65% of the people are convinced that a million trucks a year taking a shortcut through Hamilton is a good thing, then we're in big trouble, because it's not a good thing. The asthma rates in the east end of the city and the children, they're double the national average right now, and that's without the million trucks. So I can't even wrap my brain around what it's going to be like when those million trucks decide to take a shortcut up the expressway instead of going over the Skyway Bridge to the 403 Brantford. With that $110 million plus dollars that we won't spend there, we can reintroduce into affordable housing, we can rebuild the downtown core with it, We can rebuild the infrastructure that, if we listen carefully, is crumbling beneath our feet. We have some pipes that are 90 years old, and this winter, I'm sure they're going to reintroduce themselves into people's basements. There's a whole lot of other priorities in this city before we build an expressway. The expressway is a good thing if you're selling asphalt or you own a trucking company, and I didn't hear that here this evening. It's a very, very small minority of people that it's going to benefit, but there's a political will out there, because these campaigns, if they're disclosed, as the good doctor and I were discussing, we're likely to find out that they're financed by the asphalt salesmen and by the trucking companies. So we really, really need to get back to basics here, and there are some fundamental things in this city that have been neglected for too long. I'd just like to just touch base here. So financial restructuring, the city spent $14 million more than they had last year. In most corporations, you're fired, and in some cases, you're in jail. But our city council goes along merrily saying, hey, re-elect me. I wouldn't let these guys anywhere near my checkbook at a $14 million deficit. So financial restructuring is important. Improved utility operations, and I mean that by especially the car culture. If we can get away from the car culture, we love our cars, but if we're going to reintroduce life back into the core, we're going to have to keep the cars out, and it will become an attractive place to hang out if you're not concerned about getting run over. Thanks. I'll just pass it on for now, and we'll talk.
Robert Barlow.
Thank you, Rich, and thanks, folks, for taking the time to come out. And first, I'll congratulate Linda and Bill and Andrew for standing for council. It's not an easy thing to do for folks that haven't done it before. I know Bill has, and Andrew and Linda are sort of new to actually standing. And it's a difficult thing to do, and I think we need to congratulate anybody that is willing to stand against these bunch of wowzers that we got down there now. And I don't use that term lightly. Now, of course, I come from a different area and a little bit of a different background than the folks that you've heard from already. Of course, I'm from one of those bad suburban areas that want to get out of Hamilton. No, I'm just kidding. Stony Creek is a growing in leaps and bounds community, I'm afraid. Much of it can be considered sprawl. Winona, if you've been down the Winona area, the DeSantis folks are having a heyday down there, putting up homes by the hundreds. Up on Upper Stony Creek, they're just waiting to build the Meadowlands West. And, of course, that'll lead to far more sprawl. If you've been out the Bimbrook Way in Ward 11, you see brand-new development out there going up. As a matter of fact, my family's out in Bimbrook, and a few years ago, the city put the new water pipe along Golf Club and up 56 Highway into Bimbrook to serve this new community. And lo and behold, a year and a half later, 2 years, we've now discovered the pipe's too small. They're going to tear it all up and have to put a new one in because we're building even more houses in Bimbrook. Out in Mount Hope, you've probably seen some development going on out there and water down and so on and so forth. So, now, as the public school trustee for the last 3 years for Wards 9 and 10 in Stony Creek, with the school board, we actually have a lot of dealings with developers, believe it or not. Not too many of them good. As this sprawl continues to grow, it's led to problems in the school board, amazingly enough. We have kids in portables in the suburbs and schools in the downtown area that are half empty. You've probably heard that quite a bit. You probably remember us standing up last year and telling the government to stick it, basically, with their funding. And sprawl is a part of that problem. If we did not have sprawl, we would not have kids in the portables in the suburban areas. And if we were doing what Bill talks about in downtown and making a livable, wonderful community again, then all our schools in the downtown area would be all full, and we wouldn't have to close schools in the downtown area to build schools in the suburbs. But of course, when you talk to developers about building schools in the suburbs, you know, they're not concerned about that at all. So all those new kids that are moving into 50 Point, for instance, I hope the parents don't mind. They paid $250,000 or more for the houses, but sorry, their kids are going to be in portables at Winona Elementary because we don't have money to build schools. So part of this is what's led me to this decision to move from the school board to council because of developers. Quite frankly, they control City Hall. You can look through the financial records of almost every councillor that's down there now. Almost, not all of them, but almost every councillor. And you'll see them all listed. DeSenzo Construction, DeSantis Construction, this home builder, that home builder, this developer, this paver, this construction company. So who runs City Hall? We all know that. And the people of Stony Creek know that, too. It amazes me going door to door, people talking about the culture of City Hall. And we've talked about the need to create a culture change down there. That's one of the things we've talked about. Bill also mentioned back to basics. That's the second thing we've talked about. People in the suburbs feel that because of amalgamation, that their property taxes have skyrocketed at a dramatic rate, which they have. Services have been decreased in several of the communities at a dramatic rate, depending on what service we're talking about. And people are unhappy about that. So they, of course, are blaming Hamilton City Hall for that. Not necessarily the folks of Hamilton, but Hamilton. So it's not necessarily an anti-Hamilton thing that you see. Now, I'm not one of these on this de-amalgamation ticket. You've seen these folks running around promising de-amalgamation. I quite frankly think they're promising the world, because I don't think that any government that just got elected is going to give any amalgamation or de-amalgamation referendum. So I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, if the chance comes up, I would, quite frankly, like to go back to being Stony Creek. It's nothing against Hamilton folks. But that doesn't necessarily mean Stony Creek was perfect. Don could tell you stories about, Michael could tell you stories about the planning that went on in Stony Creek for years. It was just horrendous. And it's led to many of the problems that exist in Stony Creek today. The same counselor was a planning chair for 25 of his 28 years down there. And we don't have a downtown on Stony Creek. We don't have, like, downtown Dundas, for instance, which is actually a nice little place to go. It's a wonderful community with a vibrant downtown. We don't have that in Stony Creek, and that was planning issues for years. And again, the Stony Creek Council was, lo and behold, driven by developers. So it's time to take the community back. Now, I'm not going to talk about all the things we've talked about, but we're all pretty well agreeing the same thing on the expressway. We've talked about many other things similar. One of the things we're talking about is creating community councils, like it was done in Toronto, as a matter of fact, and the transition board actually recommended community councils, so there'd be a community council for Stony Creek and for East Hamilton, for Hamilton Mountain and downtown, and Ancaster and Glanbrook and so on, where people can get involved. And we're also talking about there should be referendums in every single municipal ballot to try and entice people to come out and vote on anything, something. It could be a referendum on, well, we did one in a casino once, I think. That's the last one I remember. Town of Grimsby is having a referendum on building a new aquatic center. Town of Peterborough is having a referendum on extending an expressway. You know, but they're at least giving their people a say. We need something to engage people in the political process, and that's some of the things we're talking about. As the time goes on, you'll find more information on our website. It's actually not my name. It's actually communityfirst.ca. Thank you.